Welcome to the Northern Affinity Video Podcast. During this session, we will be having an unedited discussion with an expert. And what I'll be planning to do is, during our discussion, get them to teach me something. Teach me about something that's of interest, but also they are an expert in. I'm Michael Edwards, and I'm the founder of the Northern Affinity. And I will tap into our wonderful community to bring you along on my drive for self-improvement and my desire to learn. So please connect with me on various social media platforms, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or Twitter. And I'd love to hear from you what subjects you'd like to learn more about, or what subjects you think it'd be good for me to learn about. So please, you know, get in contact and let me know. All the details will be in the show notes, and you can send me an email or contact me via the various platforms. I really hope you enjoy the show. Okay, well, I'm delighted to say we are joined by, in this episode, by Justin from Choose Purple. And Justin, we're gonna have you essentially teaching me how to maximize marketing in a recession. So, firstly, thanks for coming on to the video podcast, Justin. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me, Michael. It's good to be with you.
Brilliant. So, do you want to just, like, briefly before we go into the, discussion about the subject, do you want to kind of just explain a little bit about you and your business, and then we'll go from there?
Sure. Yeah. So I run a marketing agency, and that's pretty much what we do. We market on behalf of businesses, organisations, schools, charities, primarily across the UK. It's just about pushing people's brand and name out there, and obviously generating sales or whatever it is that they need as the output. We help people get that output and those results, whatever that might be for them, through a whole load of mediums, whether it be web, whether it be, you know, strategy, whatever it might be. That's what we spend our lives doing.
Excellent. So we're recording this in kind of early mid-October. So we're in a kind of, obviously, times that we're probably going to have for the foreseeable future, quite difficult financial times. And you hear a lot of information about what people do should save money, and there's been bits about businesses and things like that. So I thought it was a very relevant subject to cover this. So why do you think we need to cover this, Justin, and why is it important to kind of talk about maximizing the marketing in potentially difficult times?
Yeah, well, as you say, you know, October, we're right in the midst of turn the news on or whatever is pretty depressing. So I don't know about you, but I don't turn it on a lot. And the challenge is going to be there, probably for more industries than others. Whether it's going to get worse or it gets better, you know, all that's up for grabs, and no one knows. And I certainly don't know. And I don't know about you, Michael, but I certainly don't know. But what I do know is that the potential is challenges, and it's far better to be proactive than reactive. Yeah. And that's what really I want to encourage people to do, is when it comes to the marketing, because often, you know, and I would say this because I work in marketing, but what we do is we think about potential problems coming up, and our natural reaction is, let's cut costs. And listen, we might have to do that. I'm not unrealistic in saying we might have to cut this and think about not doing that and think about not doing this. And one of those potential things that we can cut could be marketing. Because we see it as, well, it's not an absolute necessity. It's an option on the shelf. But of course, if we cut our marketing, then what's going to happen in terms of our sales? The chances are they're going to go down. So what I want to sort of try and help people with is, well, listen, if we are in tough times, and maybe even tougher times, then how can we absolutely cream the marketing as much as we can, so that, you know, we'll sail through these times other than sort of struggled and potentially drowned through these times. So that's what I'm really trying to help people do at the moment: maximize your marketing. What could be challenging times for some businesses, for sure.
Yeah, and it's really interesting actually. We left early today on LinkedIn. I saw a post from one of our other partners, Flisley, who put a post about, apparently in 2007, kind of the last real financial crisis, right at the start of that, McDonald's and Burger King, apparently in terms of their size of the company and their growth, I think were pretty much neck and neck worldwide. Burger King cut quite drastically their marketing spend. McDonald's, they didn't put any more in. They just kept going, doing the same thing. And the results kind of speak for themselves and where them two businesses are. So whilst I agree with you, it's not a necessity as such, it might actually be a necessity to at least spend as much as you can. And you're quite right, you said marketing, making the best of what you spend anyway as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about doing the best you can with what you've got. So because marketing a club doesn't have to cost anything in terms of, you know, an output of pounds, although probably everybody should be spending something. Yep. But it's also what you are going to do, choose that correctly, do that well, do that consistently. Or, you know, so it's all those things that, that you can do to maximise what you are doing, even if it doesn't mean spending more. Because I am in, back to McDonald's, I heard, and I believe this to be true, but heard it, I don't know where I heard it, but recently heard that there isn't a, every McDonald's is profitable. So every McDonald's that you go into, wow, is there's not one losing money. Every, can you imagine that, McDonald's? Every McDonald's you walk into, and you can tell because when do you go to acquire McDonald's? you know, or drive through, or now Just Eat, you know, they're just creaming it, and that's because their market, they've nailed it. So you're exactly right. Yeah, there's plenty of Burger King's probably losing money, although don't quote me, I don't know. but yeah, because again, it comes down to marketing and maximizing the opportunity that's in front of us.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess on the kind of the details of it, what type of things should businesses be looking to do to get the best out of what they do? And I know obviously there's going to be no one true answer for everybody here, but I'm sure everyone could pick up something that's related to them.
Yeah, definitely. There's numerous things that you can do for sure. I mean, one of the things is just be more focused on where your target market is. So I think a lot of time we can be so scattergun. Sometimes we get desperate as well. We think, oh, right, this is going to be tough. Right, let's just do this. And we fire everything everywhere. And of course, when you fire everything everywhere, you generally get nothing. So let's just be a little bit more focused in terms of what we are doing. So, you know, don't think, oh, I've got to go here, I've got to go there. Right, I need to be doing this, I need to be doing that. Let's do this. And then what you end up doing is you end up doing nothing well and everything poor. So really focusing on the areas where you know that you can be most effective, and ideally, you know, where is your target market? Let me hammer that. So you know, have a look. I would say to every business owner right now, have a look at where you are marketing, and look at, are they the right areas? And if not, be ruthless. Cut where you don't need to market and add where you do, and do them really, really, really well. So you know, if your target markets, you know, say you're on every social media platform right now, which I don't think many businesses need to be on every social media platform. So if we look at the main ones, like we've got Facebook, we've got LinkedIn, we've got Instagram, we've got Twitter, we've got TikTok. So let's say they're the main five, and you're on every five of them. Do you really need to be on all five of them? You know, if not, let's cut to three and do those three every day, or as much as we can, do them well, put great content out there. That's going to be far more effective than just going in all five just for the sake of it, because you think that's a good thing to do. So look at where you need to be. You know, look at your web presence, look at your email marketing, look at YouTube, look at all those different things, and say, you know, actually, where do I become more focused, become more intentional, other than just going here, there, and everywhere? Because that normally is not the best solution. It certainly won't be coming up for sure. So just be a lot more intentional. I think that's something that every business owner has to look at the moment.
Is that as well the importance then of measuring what you do? Because there might be someone listening to this or watching this who doesn't feel like they need to cut the marketing spend at the moment, which is great, but they might in the future, if they have whatever way they use to measure it for the last 6, 12, 8, 18 months, 5 years, whatever it is, they can see what's working well for them and what's not working well for them. That would make it a lot easier in that case. So they might, you know, to use a really basic example, they might market themselves in 6 different ways at the moment. 3 of them do okay, 3 of them do really well. If they know that because of the previous, then it's easier. You know where you can focus.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, data is everything, isn't it? You know, I remember hearing something like in the Second World War, I think it was, or where Winston Churchill he set up this whole department about gathering. Even back in those days, like gathering data and gathering, knowing what they needed to do to be successful in the World War. And he had this whole sort of secret department set up all about gathering the data and using that data to basically effectively win. Mm-hmm. And right back to those days, and gathering data is everything. So, you know, we've got to make sure we're tracking as much as we can track, and we can track better than we ever have done before. So just every business has to be using Google Analytics. It has to be knowing, you know, on your website, you know, how many people are coming on your website, how long are they staying there for, what pages are they on, where are they coming from. That's free. That's not going to cost you a penny to look at that. So make sure analytics is set up on social media. You know, look at your posts, what sort of posts are working. Sometimes all we do is we just do it out of habit, but habit, you know, you've got to do that effectively. So it's like going to the gym. Yeah, you might go to the gym every week or whatever, but if you're not doing the right things, you know, I can go to the gym and drink a bottle of water while I'm there and do this for 5 minutes, but hang on, make a blind bit of difference. So, you know, it's about doing what you do well and not just out of habit. So what posts are working, what aren't working? You know, again, even things like likes and so on and so forth, they're relatively important, but they're not everything. And sometimes we got obsessed by likes and shares and things like that. But, you know, we've got to, like you say, we've got to make sure we're tracking that data. So things like Google Analytics is vitally important. Even, you know, on your website for, I think, setting up this free sort of free software, like there's one called SEO Checker, for example, where you can check, you know, are my keywords working for me? You know, if you put your website and your keywords in there, you'll see, are you ranking? Are you increasing ranking? Are you going down in ranking? Do you need to spend any money on that or not? So all that data is really, really important to know, like you say, to know what I should cut and what I should not cut, because you don't want to be cutting the wrong things and going downhill. You need to be going uphill, and like I say, the data is a thing to do that.
Yeah, and is there potentially opportunities here for people as well who, I'm not an expert on this area, but from what I understand of some of the kind of ad spend or Google and things like that, often you are competing against other people to be able to spend that money. And if there's less people spending, potentially you're going to get at least the same return from less money. Is that right? I mean, you probably can explain it a lot better than I can.
Yeah, definitely. You're in a sense, you know, sometimes you're in an auction and whoever bids the most gets the higher place. That's probably a simplistic but relevant way of looking at it. So, of course, if competition does go down, you know, people are cutting their spend, then there's an opportunity where you can get that ranking cheaper for certainly in the paid world anyway. So like we're saying, if there's a time to step up your marketing, now is that time, especially as if we're thinking, well, maybe next year is going to be a tough year, but right now it's not, then now is that time to be proactive. So things like your Google ads and maybe your Facebook ads, your social media ads, look at what is that going to cost me to attack it SEO wise organically. If you could put that work in now in October, so let's say March, April next year, your rankings have increased while your competitors haven't done that, then you are going to maximize 6 months from now. So 100% now is the time to be looking at these things. I've seen, can I invest now so that, you know, come 6 months from now, we're benefiting from that. So there is opportunity, and that's one of the things. Like, it can all look negative, but there's opportunity to do things now where we're going to benefit next year when things might or might not be tougher. We don't know that, but what we can't do is sit on our hands and hope for the best. That's just the worst strategy in the world.
Absolutely. And I think I just thought of something then actually about this, is that where is the, in your opinion, this is more of an opinion, I guess, that if you're in a business where the recession potentially benefits you, so maybe use an example, a coffee shop who, I mean, the cost of living, the heating crisis and everything like that, you could go out and start saying to everyone, I'll tell you what, don't spend money on your own heating. Come and sit in our coffee shop for the day and drink a few coffees. It's actually cheaper than heating your house. Is there a line there that potentially from maybe a public relations element of it or a work like that, you could just be kind of seen to be taking advantage of quite a bad situation, and kind of what kind of things should businesses be looking out for in that way?
Yeah, I think it's not often what you say, it's how you say it. You know, that's comes across, that's just life in general. You know, you teach your kids, it's not what you say, it's how you say it, you know. So, and that's, you know, that's really, really important. So I think in marketing, it's exactly the same thing. I don't think there's a problem with that principle of, listen, come to the coffee shop, we'll give you free Wi-Fi, you know, you can top up as much as you want for such and such a money. They're going to make profit out of it because they're already paying for the eating, already paying for interest anyway. You know, they'll do a deal on the coffee, which is fine. Coffee's like nothing to, you know, the profit margin on it's massive anyway. So therefore, actually, it looks like we're helping, which they are doing, but they're going to make profit out of as well. I mean, I know a contact of mine who he has a like a place where you go and you get sort of hot desking, that sort of thing. And he's saying that basically, don't quote me this because I don't know the amounts at all, but he was saying like, supposedly working from home is going to cost you, I'm just pulling this amount out of the air, but let's say it's going to cost you £250 a month to work from home. Or you can go and hot desk whenever you want at his place, as much coffee as you want, you know, be warm, be, you know, air conditioning. I think they do yoga once a week for free, you know, all that stuff, and you pay £199.
Yeah.
You know, he's basically, yes, he's maximizing it, but it don't come across to me like he's, you know, he's I'm thinking I'm saving 50 quid here, who's winning? So I think it's how you say it, not what you say, is really, really important in your marketing. It's that brand protection and the tone of voice that you use more than what you're saying.
Yeah, so I guess the kind of general message is just have a little think about it rather than just put it out there. You know, as long as your intention is good, just be aware, because it's that. I use the example of that as kind of a, think of a comparison. Maybe in the summer when we had those few days where it was 40 degrees, a few businesses were saying, "Come and sit in our aircon." I think that kind of that's a good way of doing it. But obviously, this is a little bit different because it's a bit more emotive. It's a longer term thing and that kind of thing. So it's just kind of, I guess, getting the balance right.
Yeah, I think so. It's also just backing up as well, your PR. So like one of the things that I would say you need to maximize now is, and you can always maximize, but it's free, is work hard on getting positive reviews online. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because that backs up those sort of claims anyway, because people look and they go, oh, these guys, they're prepared to help. They've got great reviews. The PR is good. So what reviews do, they back up everything that you're doing. And the amount, again, people might be listening to this and thinking, well, I don't really work hard on getting reviews. You know, you've got to go out and proactively get those reviews. So, you know, on Google, for example, where that's going to help you, you know, it's going to play a part in your SEO and being found online. So it's 100% a no-brainer to go out and get Google reviews proactively after every client you work with. Some will never leave you a review, not because they don't like you, they just can't be bothered and too busy. So therefore, you know, you're not going to get that. But if you can get 1 in 4 or whatever it might be, who are they going to do business with? You, who's got 97 reviews, 5-star, or the bloke down the road that's got 3? And, you know, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? So one of the things that 6 months from now, be thinking 6 months from now, let me add 50 reviews or whatever it might be. That's really, really going to help in the long run. All these things, they add up for your business. So again, maximize your marketing by being proactive, and reviews, whether it be Google, Facebook, Trustpilot, whatever it might be, just put a system in place, be consistent and follow it through.
That's really, really relevant. Just, have you got any kind of, I guess, tips around that, people, how to get reviews? Because like you said, you know, well, however much you do, some people won't, but is there any kind of good ways of doing, getting as many reviews as you can?
Yeah, I mean, you can use systems. You know, if you want to use automated systems, you can do, but often people can tell they're automated. And I, even though I work in marketing day in, day out, and I'm all for systems and automation, it's that personal touch as well. So we actually do it, again, we don't sell hundreds of stuff every day. So I think if you do that, it's better to be automated. But if you don't do that, then really, you know, I'm all for making it as easy as you can for people. So, you know, you have an email script that you literally can just copy and paste, put into an email. And as soon as you're part of your system, as soon as that job is done, send them that email, send them the reminder, and send them a text message. I think if you do all those three things, if they don't answer to those, they're probably never going to answer. So it's just about being proactive. It doesn't take long. It takes like 30 seconds. And they feel like you've personally contacted them for a review. They can literally click on it and leave a review there and then. And over text message, obviously, a lot of people work off the phones nowadays for, you know, Google Maps or whatever it might be. Sending by text message as well, sometimes that's either it pops up the thing while they're watching Coronation Street. Oh, you know what? I'll do it now when I'm watching watching that or the football or whatever. So yeah, I think that's just be proactive and make it easy for yourself and easy for them, and you will 100% get reviews.
Yeah, and I guess I'll back that up actually in terms of, I think it's one thing I'm always considering is making it as easy as possible for people to do whatever you want them to do. I think it's a, you know, you can get lost in sometimes what works best for you, which is fine. But sometimes when things like that, when you're asking for a favor, essentially, just it might make it more difficult for you rather than, like you said, you could do an automated, which would be easy, but it might mean you have to spend a bit more time, but you're probably going to get a better response if you make it easy.
Exactly. Well, there's two things on that. Number one, for Google, you can give them a direct link where it literally, as soon as they click on it, it doesn't go to your Google My Business, it goes to the review where they're literally typing the review there and then. So that makes it easier. And for maybe if you sell a lot of something, you know, so it's e-commerce, for example, you just constantly then automate that. But maybe if you can push to it, if they leave a, like I know a company that I work with that's Trustpilot focused. And they give, we've just started a campaign where over a period of time, if you give us a review, you'll get put in the hat to win an Apple Watch. So it's a good prize. But if leaving that many reviews with the amount that they sell, it's just a good deal. It's a good deal for them to get more reviews. So they're trying to get over 1,000 and it's just gonna massively help them. So if need be, give a incentive, but if not, just make it really, really easy. That is a key for them, like you say, more than you.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there any other obvious one? Any other things that people can go to?
I think quick wins. Are there some quick wins, you know, for now that you can go with? So think about what can I do really quick, because things like social media is not a quick win. You know, things like SEO is not a quick win. Email campaigns, nothing's quick, is it, when it comes to marketing? Back in the day, you put an advert in a newspaper, put a four-page advert in, the phone would ring, happy days, all you had to do. It's not like, you know, it's nothing quick win anymore. But there are little things such as, you know, what about looking at your client base, your old client base, and what can I do with my client base or my old client base to re-energize that or bring something back from that? So whether that be, you know, things like upsells, whether that be things like, you know, can you give a free review based on what they did in the past? Basically, you can get them back into your sales pipeline. Yeah. I won't guarantee it completely, but I would be fairly confident to say if everybody looked at their old client list and thought about what can I do to reconnect with them, bring them back into my sales funnel, I reckon everybody would win business out of that. You know, whether that be an offer to engage them, whether that be a free sort of review or a free consultation or whatever it might be, I think everybody would win business out of that. But often we're too busy, we don't think about it. So I think it's a quick win for people that do something to re-engage with old clients and be proactive with that.
I guess it's your maximizing your current clients as well. You know, they've bought from you at least once before, so there's a certain amount of trust and all that kind of stuff. So using that potentially more, I mean, this goes for in all cases, not just in a recession, does it? But definitely, so that in theory should be a lot easier way, maybe quicker way as well.
Yeah, 100%. I can't remember the statistic again. As you can tell, I'm rubbish with statistics. I just forget them, so I just quote random numbers. But I know it's like 7-8%, you know, 80% more chance of a client that's bought from you, someone that's bought from you before, than a new client. The percentage is massively higher that they will buy from you, or more likely to buy from you than a new client, because they already know you, they've already had a good experience with you. So it's about maximizing, re-engaging with them. What can I do so for us, it might be, for example, let's say it's for a website for us, and we've done, I don't know, 50 websites over the past year, 2 years, whatever it might be. Then what we can do is reconnect with them, and we can offer a free 30-minute Zoom call to look at how has it gone in the last year or so, you know, how much have you got from it, et cetera, et cetera. Give them some free suggestions. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about that? But more than likely, they'll think, oh, that's a good idea, but they'll not have the time to do it. They might not have the expertise to do it. Actually, just would you mind just knocking me a quote together on what it would cost to do those things? If I do, let's say I've got 50 websites, 20 of those say, yeah, I'll have the review, and 10 of them will say, give me a quote. This is worst case. 5 of them buy from me, and each one of them spends £300. I'm a couple of thousand pounds up on that I was 5 minutes ago. So it's just about things like that. What can we do really quickly that will help re-engage those clients and add to a bottom line in what could be difficult times?
Absolutely. And we touched on social media earlier. I mean, is there, in a recession, I guess, because it's obviously without the paid element, it's free, is there a danger that the noise is going to get louder and louder on there a bit? I mean, we probably all go back to this, the early part of the pandemic when the only place we could be is online. There was a lot of activity going on there. Mm. Is there a danger that could be a thing? So we might have to look at other areas.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And of course, some social platforms are becoming a bit of a nightmare as well to market on. Like the algorithms are constantly changing, and you feel like you've got to work a lot harder to be seen and to get found. So I think number one, yeah, we have to look at other avenues, but I think we have to be sharper as well with what we do. So like I talked about earlier, we just get into this habit of putting out the same stuff, and it just becomes irrelevant to people, and they stop looking at it, and then the algorithms drop, and then you're basically doing this work and nothing's being seen. So, you know, I know this word is a bit of a buzzword, but sometimes we have to be a little bit disruptive. We have to come up with some new, fresh ideas that get eyeballs on what it is that we're doing. You know, again, video, and Matt, this is video right now, but how many people are still not doing video? It's guaranteed to work better than other posts. And yet I know that sometimes it's confidence and self-esteem and shy, and I get all that, but there are different ways that we can do it. So yes, we have to look at social media. If we're going to do it, we've got to do it effectively, we've got to do it consistently, we've got to do it well. But again, look at other ways, other things that we can do, you know, things like, you know, your TikToks and things like that. That's fresh, that's new. Are we early adapters on that, or are we not early adapters on that? Should we be on it? Should we not be on it? We still have to, even if we're not on it, let's have a conversation about whether we should be or not. Let's not just disregard it because we think everybody's 13 and crazy that's on there. So let's have the conversation, you know, at least, you know, email Martin. Over the years, a lot of people have dropped off that, but it's still got its place. So it's more, again, it's just about reviewing and going, where do I need to be and being really focused on these things other than either been scattergun or writing things off because we think it's not relevant when actually it might be. And let's not just write things off because we think, oh, it's not going to work. It could.
Yeah, I was just thinking then, you know, how important is repurposing content as well? Because, you know, you've got, this is kind of what I'm doing here. We've got a video podcast here. That's at least two platforms that this will be, from the YouTube page to the podcast. And obviously we'll put it out on social media and things like that. It's one piece of content that can be used in various different ways. And that's, you know, that is about maximizing marketing, recession or no recession.
Yeah, massively. And again, it drives me insane about how we don't repurpose content, because this one thing we're creating now, we could use this, repurpose this 20 times over, you know, in terms of on different platforms, like you've said, audio and visual. Not only that, we can rip 1 minute or 30 second snippets out and use them in different places over the next month. And suddenly from one half an hour session, we've got 20 to 30 pieces of content we can use all over the place. But what we often do is we just create the 30 minutes of content, put it somewhere and go, oh, there we go. Let's watch what happens. And then not a lot happens. Instead of, like you say, repurposing is massive. And so, you know, again, you know, put it as a, it can go on blog posts. We can transcribe it and use it as over a series of blog posts. There's all the different things that we can do, as well as the video, as well as the audio, as well as using it on different social media platforms. So yeah, repurposing is massive, and it's not used as much as it should be.
Am I right in saying there's some sort of platforms that you can use to essentially transcribe, as you touched on, this conversation, me and you, and is it Otter AI? Have I made that up?
There's one, I forget the name of it. There's one where you pay a dollar for so many words. It's cheap as chips, right? Anyway. So you might pay like a £5 or £10 to get this whole thing transcribed.
Yeah.
And you upload it, they send you it, done. You know, I think the AI ones are probably, I don't know, I've not used them, they might be hit and miss. Where I know with this, so if you use it myself, you just pay a few pound and you get the whole thing transcribed, split it up into blogs, proofread it, takes you an hour, but you've suddenly got all that content. So yeah, there's platforms out there for sure that do that, and it's very effective.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So before we finish, is there any other kind of anything else that you think that would be useful for people?
I think just, you know, consistency is important. So if you're going to do it consistently. Please don't be too hit and miss, because again, if you hit and miss in the way you do it, then you'll be hit and miss in your results. And let's not forget as well, I think this is really, really important, and I know you'll agree with this because of what you do, but let's connect in person with people. I think that's really, really important. Coming out of the back of the years that we've had and going into the years that are to come, we're still going to be connected in person with people. So let's not leave everything to Zoom and leave everything to that. I still think it, as part of marketing strategies, you know, let's be getting out there and meeting people as well, because that is still really, really important. So I think there's some good tips, and think long-term and think short-term as well. What do I need to be doing for 6 months from now? What do I need to do 12 months from now? What do I need to be doing now? And put that into a simple plan and be consistent with it, and it will see you through, hopefully, you know, quite effectively. But final thing I'll say is, if you don't do it and you don't take action, then, you know, we don't know what the results are going to be. But if we do, we think cleverly, and we work cleverly, we can go for the next year, go for the next 2 years, make some profit, have good lives. There's no reason we can't do that if we maximize and don't just sit on our hands.
That's a great message, Justin. And you will obviously find me disagreeing about people meeting in person. I think it is, like you said, you know, we've mainly talked about the kind of the online stuff here, haven't we? But there is a million and one different ways of doing that. So it's not just about those things. So I'll put all your details and everything in the show notes, Justin, so people can find out a bit more about you. But if you want to kind of let them know where the best place is to find out,
you'll find me on social media, that is for sure. So whether it be LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram, or you can check us out online. It's choosepurple.co.uk. Any of those places, you'll be able to connect with me and the team.
Thank you, Justin. I really, really appreciate your time. Now, I've made a load of notes. You've actually given me some actions to do, and probably do more repurposing of the content for a start. We do some of it. I think I can do more of it as well. But no, thank you. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And yeah, great to have you on.
Pleasure. No problem. Thank you very much.
I hope you enjoyed this chat today, and like me, you learned something new from our wonderful expert. So if you'd like to hear from more of our sessions, please subscribe on whatever platform that you get your podcast from to hear more. And also, we'd love to meet you at some point at one of our upcoming events. We, the Northern Affinity, hold events all across the north of England, and we'd love to meet new people and then have guests along. So please come along and check out our website or all the details in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and see you next time.